I think the next presentation is the CMA. Yes, we. I know it's quite a marathon day, but it's important that we really have presentations from these entities to finish up this work of the last term. We'll call now the CCMA, and CCMA, are you ready? Come again. Oh, sorry, SEE. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry, Supported Employment Enterprise. Can we, before that, we just allow the DG just for some few minutes, then.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we really apologize. We should have included the presentation of SEE in the presentation of the department. So I'm going to ask Mr. Mrotoba to just run quickly through the presentation. It's not a very long presentation. 10 minutes, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Sam Rotova. Whilst I'm the DDG responsible for public employment services, I'm also the acting CEO of the entity. Now, the first three slides give you, slide number three, it gives you the background of the entity, its origin, and that it derives its mandate from the Employment Services Act. And currently we have 18 factories that employ 159 staff members seconded to the entity with 1,100 people with disability. On the next slide, we're just giving you a picture that depicts the location of the 13 factories, except that we don't have one in Mpumalanga. And the next slide is also further detail around how it is managed and the fact that it used to get preferential procurement and now it no longer has that. But nonetheless, government has given us 50% upfront payment that we can ask from other government departments to avoid a situation that we found ourselves in previously where government departments refused to pay us. And the next slide is just giving you the production processes and the next one on the type of furniture we produce, different equipment and so on. The next one is also on the textile that we produce, and we will be having the NCOP visiting the two factories next on the 8th, especially the Epping and the Dabeni factories in the Western Cape, to look at the textile that we produce for hospitals. Just on our performance, if you can go to the next slide, we had during the third quarter of last year two indicators. We only achieved one. The other one was not achieved, and I'll give you details, which means that our achievement at the SEE at the end of quarter three was at 50%. And the next slide also gives you a comparative quarterly analysis in that in the first quarter and the second quarter of that year, we were at 0%, that is quarter one and quarter two, and there was a slight movement in quarter three. If you look at the next slide, the one that we achieved, we had a target of 75 people that we're supposed to employ. The target for the year was 100. By the end of that quarter, we had improved or increased that number to 94. And the reason why we did that was because we realized that there was a lot of backlog of furniture that we had to produce at the same time, there were orders that were not processed, and there was an order from the Eastern Cape that we had to finish. And that is why we increased our capacity across all factories. On the next one, we had a target of 10% of our revenue increased, which means that the income that we should have had at the end of quarter three, we should have been at 50.5 million, and we're only at 42.2 million because of the sales that we managed to do that. And that is why, as part of the remedial action, apart from employing people, we had to, as a result of reflecting on cancellations and complaints that we received, try to look at a number of corrective measures that included, for instance, processing outstanding orders, making sure that we deliver and we collect monies that were due where people gave us 50% orders, and where we held people's monies as part of deposit, we also deliver, and that we accelerate our marketing initiatives. The next slide just gives you trends of performance in 17-18 compared to 18-19. We moved from Q1 at 40%, Q3 of 17-18 to 80%, and we ended at Q4 around 60%. And like I said, 18-19, the first two quarters were at zero and only managed to move to 50%. In conclusion, we managed to end the third quarter at 50%, we had indicated that we were going to focus on some remedial action during Q4, and I know that we are not presenting Q4, but nonetheless, the remedial actions that we implemented, when we present our quarter four, you will notice that we managed to achieve the targets for the year. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Now, thank you very much. In my history as a public representative, first time that I received a simple, clear, straightforward report. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair. Now, I think this is a wonderful initiative. I'd just like to know how people with disabilities are being targeted. How are they informed about these opportunities that are being offered, and how do you reach them in order to enable them to be employed by your ECEs?
If there are no questions, I just want to make a proposal, TM and TG, that when you come for PRRR, please apply for a space for a stall, just to showcase, just the linen, the furniture, and whatever. I'll humbly request that. I think that would then be my proposal, if there are no other. Honorable Nonsen.
Thank you, Chair. I think the additional point could be that, just to check in terms of how the project is socialized, so that you mobilize communities to support them. But on the other side, the question whether, for instance, is it not going to be helpful, so that on the critical days, such as your policy statement day, whether, for instance, Parliament can't be exposed to the project itself. So that the point, unless my observation is wrong, the point of achieving, part of failure to achieve your targets has to do more with its ability to reach the targeted markets. Yeah. and the weather foresters, can we then use creative means to help achieve that? That is including what we're proposing. But then the other point would be whether, for instance, is it not going to help to also to check whether, for instance, is it not going to help to position the project in a manner consistent with the new extended mandate of the department, so that when we talk about it, we talk about it more in a more broader sense, rather than in a more confined as a just short-term interventions, but more on a longer term that is more employment creation oriented approach. Thank you, Chair.
All right. You can respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think the last two points, marketing, we appreciate we will do that. During the budget vote, we were there. When we take service delivery to people, we'll do that, and we'll also make sure that and when we present our plans, also share some of the expansion thoughts, because these factories can take, the capacity can take up to 4,000, but we have also identified other unused factories. And the only thing that we know that will make or break is the support in terms of procurement of products of these factories by various government departments, and we are doing a lot in that area and exposing yourselves. Like I said, the NCOP will be hosting them in the two factories. You are also welcome, even during your constituency work, to visit any of the factories. We'll provide contact details to the Secretariat. How we source people? Normally we use feeder schools in our communities. Everywhere you do have schools of people that have those learners that have learning difficulties. That's where we normally recruit, because we know that those skills have those children have got very, very good skills when it comes to working with their hands, and we recruit them all over from those areas. Others are referred to us by psychiatrists from mental institutions, especially those that have served time in prison, etc. We also employ them. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think the need to all the members for us to go and see one or two of those is really going to be very important. But just lastly, if then Mpumalanga has it got it, doesn't have it, are there any endeavors in talking with the government to ensure can they be one?
We are at an advanced stage with the Premier's office, and we will. Once we finalize those discussions, there's a site I've identified and all that, and once we have finalized with the Premier's office, maybe we'll also invite you to the lodge. Thank you.
Last.
I just want to check on the issue, but more as a principle now from the committee side, whether, for instance, can we... as a matter of principle, support the view that says, in line with our duties for oversight, we would then pay a visit to at least one site, even if it's once in a year, in one site, and then in another year we can go to another one, depending on the debates and circumstances that the portfolio committee finds itself in. The point is that so that we don't continuously talk we have practical experience. Maybe the department can just identify and profile them. Then on the basis of that, the committee, when it sees, then it can consider which one it can make its priority, particularly those that are afflicted and performing poorly.
No, I think the Secretariat is here. It is to have to note that so that when we develop our program, we factor that in. Okay, thank you very much. Now it's going to be CCMA.
Thank you, and members of Parliament, Deputy Minister.
Asikufa.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that thank you for the opportunity from the CCMA, established in terms of the Labor Relations Act. My name is Manjinji Chetison. It's on the...
Come closer to the mic.
Oh, let me move closer. Is it better now? Okay, all right. Chairperson, I will not go into detail because we're explaining mainly just the third quarter and just the three targets that were not met. I'll start on slide number 5. You will note there that the performance of that third quarter then was 63%, with only three targets that were not achieved. The explanation of that is on the next page, slide 6 to slide 7. Just quickly on, although later you will see that all of them have been done, but at that time, it was only, we had to conduct this capacity building, 6 of them, but we did 5. And it was a problem of timing in December when we had planned to do that program. We couldn't do it because of the shutdown, so we couldn't achieve that. The second one, at the CCMA, and in terms of the law, is that when you refer a case, you must conciliate it within 30 days. Now the problem with this one is that sometimes you get the wrong referrals that are out of jurisdiction. For example, if someone will refer a case of pension fund and divorces to the system, but our system records them as cases referred, and if we don't conciliate them, then it appears that we have not met that requirement. So that frustrates the system. It's not that it's not achieved. And others, it's those type of issues. It's a case management system issue, if you look at the reason for the non-achievement on item 2. If you go to page 7, we're supposed to deliver 13.
Slide number 7.
Promise there was that in the next quarter we'll overachieve, and that's what we did. We only missed one delivery of training. We were supposed to do 13, we did 12. But that was sorted later. That's all, Chairperson, on the performance, what was missed. And the next page, on page 8, it's just a graph that shows you over a period from 2015-16, how the third quarter has been. And then from there, we can proceed to slide number 10. That's a dashboard. We always use this dashboard because it always gives a good picture of what we do and the main things that we achieve. But the only thing I wanted to highlight, which I think is important and of interest, is the one that talks about jobs on the right side of that dashboard. As at that date, we set the target of 35, but we managed to achieve 41%, which saved 12,943 jobs out of the 31,000 that was facing retrenchment. This is just the cases we know about, those that are referred to us. And these are large-scale dismissals. The small ones we don't get referrals for. So it's not a complete picture of all retrenchments. It's just those referred to us and only the large-scale dismissals. So that's the only part I wanted to highlight on that slide. I don't want to go into detail. That's all, Chairperson. For the sake of time, I can speak to as far as the performance is concerned. We don't have issues of performance at all. And then on your finance or the financial reporting part, the critical one is on slide number 20. Slide number 20. Chairperson, that we're performing within budget also. If you look at the budget on the different programs, on administration, the total there, let me just give you the total without going through individual, the bottom line, 753 million cumulative, and then the actual is 697, which gives the variance percentage of 7%. That's all, Chairperson. That's my presentation. I'll take questions. These are the dangerous ones. The DG would prefer this one. But I keep it here. So, Chairperson, that's essentially that. I will take questions. Then I'll explain. Ungaba wamukhona, the CFO is here, if there's any financial questions that might need to be dealt with.
All right. Thank you. Honourable members, there is a presentation from CCMA Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration. Do you still get in touch of Mr. Newpen? Because he's one of those that you're given the responsibility to form this institution. Okay, any questions? No questions. The lucky. The next one is Nedlick.
Okay, good afternoon, Chairperson and the committee. As indicated, my name is Debo Tijani, the acting ED at Nedlick. We'll also try and move as fast as we can, but the Chairperson had indicated that we should take it easy given that this is a new committee, so I'll try and balance that as well. But as
we may be new in the committee, but we are activists.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. That's helpful. Therefore, in terms of the first slide, which is I think slide 3, that just outlines obviously who we are in terms of how we're established, in terms of Act 35 of 1994, and it also just outlines the four aspects in terms of the mandate, where we're deriving our mandate, and then slide 4 just outlines objectives in terms of the Nedlick Act. Promotion of goals of economic growth, participation in economic decision-making and social equity, seek to reach consensus and conclude agreements on matters pertaining to social economic policy. I think the most important thing is anything that has got socio-economic impact, those are the issues that Nedlick will then address, just in summary. And then on slide 5, we are just outlining the strategic objectives that outlines what keeps us busy at Nedlick. One, effective governance and strategic leadership, provision of efficient and reliable back office support services, improved risk management and financial oversight, improved facilities management, office administration, system enhanced and monitored, strengthening organizational culture and performance, effective management on drug policy and legislation within the framework of the NEDLAC Act, Constitution and Protocols, conclude matters under consideration within the framework of the Section 77 Protocol, conclude matters under consideration within the framework of the NEDLAC Protocol, promote social dialogue through communication, information and capacity building, compliance with NEDLAC policy on constituency capacity building, budgeting and expense. And in a nutshell, the work of NEDLAC, or the achievement of its objectives, takes place within three programs, which is administration, cooperation, and constituency capacity building. And if I could go to slide 7, which basically depicts how we fared in the third quarter. In terms of those three core programs, administration, we achieved 86%, where we had a total of 7 planned indicators. We achieved 6, therefore 86%. In terms of corporations, we had 15. We achieved all of those. Constituency capacity building, funds, we had 6, and we achieved half of that, which is 50%. And the sum total of achievement was 86% at that time. We did have some challenges, which is on slide 9, the challenges that explains the level of achievement in terms of quota performance appraisals conducted, which I think we also dealt with when we last came to the portfolio committee. The reason for that variance was that the performance appraisals were not conducted as some of the employees had gone through emergency ill health, and this was done before the process of the performance review was concluded. So we're still having outstanding performance assessment. And then what we did to deal with that, we realigned government standards with national norms, and we worked on improving our internal processes, which is obviously clear when one gets to quarter four. Second one, performance improvement plans were not developed. In this instance, because performance improvement plans are normally developed if there is underperformance, there was no underperformance, so we also clarified that one to say only if and when there's underperformance, those will be developed. Unqualified audit opinion obtained, that was one of the objectives. NEDLAC obtained a qualified audit opinion. This resulted in respect of undisclosed irregular expenditure amounting to 391,000 on the financial statement. We had then put a plan in place in terms of ensuring that the audit action plan is put in place and is monitored. And we also dealt with the improvement in terms of compliance with the relevant statutory requirements, NEDLAC policies and protocols, which when you get to quarter four, the report will outline how we have addressed those particular challenges. Moving to slide 10, progress report on MENCO, Management Committee, on a decent work country program. Here, MENCO in quarter one was converted to ex-committing. Therefore, no MENCO meeting had taken place, but it was taken over by EXCO. MENCO is basically a management committee of the executive committee of EXCO. So the outstanding progress report was submitted to MENCO in quarter two. To prevent this recurrence, the technical indicator description had been amended to ensure that this particular work country program report can be approved either by MENCO or EXCO. Progress report submitted to Finance Committee. The target was not achieved. Information was not received timely from our constituencies. In order to deal with that, we put in place a reminder service in terms of reminding constituencies to submit information more timely, and we then monitor that. Target removed in the APP for 2019-20 financial year due to achievement of this target, as we heavily relied on external parties over which NEDLAC has no control, so we had to readjust that. Moving quickly to slide 11, still dealing with some of the challenges. One of the challenges we perceive as insufficient budget allocation resulting in cost pressures. Here we then, in terms of addressing this, we then engage the Department of Employment and Labor, National Treasury, in terms of, securing the amount with the MTF submissions. Cost containment measures put in place to manage the spending. we decided we need to be more frugal in terms of making sure that we do more with less. Number 7, receiving of additional projects, mandates post-budgeting process. Here we're talking specifically to projects that are run by NEDLAC, and sometimes the monies come a little bit late after we had actually used the funds that we already have to deal with it. So that creates a little bit of a stress, but eventually it gets sorted out when the money's in. Shortage of human resources and adequate resources, requisite structure. This is basically in terms of the number of projects that we run over a period of the year, including the additional ones. But we've then put in place a process of conducting a workflow to address those. So proposals to governance structures for creation of new positions were submitted, and organizational workflow assessment process is still underway as we speak. The governance task team has been established by ESCO to review the NEDLAC Act constitution and protocols. If you may recall, Chairperson, when the Minister of Labour presented his budget vote, he also spoke to the issue of a comprehensive review of the NEDLAC protocols and constitution, which will then allow a more inclusivity and also ensuring that at least after a period of 25 years, we then reposition NEDLAC in a manner that will then address the issues relevantly. Number 9, lack of employees' benefits, e.g. medical aid, pension fund, and medical aid and pension. This has already been dealt with. We have received money for that, and the governance structures have approved these processes, and there is a process underway where a service provider is being appointed to address those. Moving quickly to slide 13, just to talk to the issue of budgeting in the context of quarter 3, the budget allocation letter received from National Treasury increased the baseline in 2019-20 with additional funds for employee benefits, as I've indicated, so we have money, so we're implementing those benefits. However, no adjustment has been made to the baseline for funding for additional staff to assist with increased workload, talking to the issues around financial pressures. The process of follow-up and requesting of additional funding to recruit additional staff will continue, but we're talking quarter 3 now. It has already continued. Additional funds of 12 million, which related specifically to the jobs fair, jobs summit, was indeed received. It has been used. The process or the project is continuing as we speak. And slide 17 is basically just to outline the total budget that we received from the Department of Employment and Labour, which is 33 million. We also outlining the interest received from that amount, and also outlining or indicating the sundry income, which gives us at quarter 3, 34 million. And I think what is important is that this amount excludes the amount that was received specifically for a job summit project. Slide 17, still continue with income expenditure information explanations. As at quarter 3, financial year, NEDLAC has recorded a total of 39 million, which is made up of grant received from Department of Employment and Labour. I've indicated that we also accrued some interest from that amount, and we also took into consideration the money that was received from the CETA relating to skill development, also the sundry income and subsidy amount received from the International Labour Organization, ILO. We also spoke to NEDLAC, had budgeted to receive a total of 25 million for quarter 3 of this current year. This resulted in a positive variance of 13 million, driven mainly by additional funding received for the activities of the job summit, that 12 million that I spoke to. Lastly, on that slide, on a cash flow basis, NEDLAC had surplus of 8 million plus. NEDLAC experienced cost pressures during the third quarter due to timing issues. As I've indicated, we had the job summit, but we did use the money that was available, and the money came a little bit after that so that we can then balance our books. Funds were received after the hosting of the job summit. Due to the timing issues listed above, most administrative costs increased in line with increased job summit activities. We are giving examples there, telephone, travel, accommodation, etc. Contributions significantly to quarter 3 expenditure is over expenditure on the compensation of employees. This expenditure was incurred as a result of increased workload where staff resources are sourced to compensate for suspended staff of NEDLAC and all those sometimes that goes on special leave, such as maternity. As the committee might be aware that at that point in time, we had suspensions and acting people had to be appointed to come in, so that also contributed to that process. Research expenditure was also significant for quarter three, primarily relating to work around the ESCOM business model. Budget allocated for Section 77 was also overspent due to increased activities. In terms of Section 77, we do use a baseline for the previous year in terms of how we're going to then work. But because of the socio-economic aspects that require this Section 77 to be looked at, we've seen ourselves in superseding the planned activity. On slide 19, on irregular and wasteful expenditure, at the year-end third quarter, NEDLAC had not identified additional irregular expenditure. However, an opening balance was 1 million that existed. Additional to this amount of 391,000 was included during the year relating to activities of 2017-2018 financial year. We recorded a wasteful expenditure of 5,936, primarily due to no-shows relating to traveling arrangement. Investigations relating to these amounts are continued. This is now in quarter three, but we have addressed those at this stage. Slide 21, basically just to give a depiction in terms of the audit action, those that are in progress, those that were still not completed at that point, those that had not started, and those that had completed. But as at the financial year end, we had made great strides in terms of addressing those audit queries in the audit plan. Slide 22, just outlining basically what is depicted in that pie graph in terms of the number of audits, those that were completed, and those that are still underway. Chair, if you allow me to go to slide 24, NEDLAC contribution to employment, poverty alleviation, and reduction of inequalities, because we are presenting in the context of Department of Employment and Labour. Now, in line with its mandate, NEDLAC contributes indirectly to the promotion of employment and saving jobs, alleviation of poverty and inequality, primarily through consideration of legislative and policy matters. While NEDLAC does not directly create employment opportunities, it creates an enabling environment to promote economic growth and address the triple challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. As indicated, anything that has to do with socio-economic impact, we look into. On slide 25, just to give an example of the consideration of legislation and policy issues impacting on employment, poverty, and alleviation and inequalities, key to NEDLAC mandate is the consideration of proposed legislation relating to labor market and significant amendments to socio-economic policy issues prior to being introduced to Parliament. I think that's quite important, specifically when it comes to social partners, because they'll need to engage on those and make comments so that this can be looked at in that context that everyone has participated. Slide 26, Chair, examples of projects that we have embarked on during that time. Those are listed: comprehensive social security, national health insurance. We know there's still discussions on the national health insurance. Just for information, this will also be presented at the task team by the Department of Health, I think, next week. Financial sector transformation summit, energy task team, sovereign rating downgrade, custom fraud and illegal import, technical infrastructure agencies, decent work country program, special sessions, e.g. financial inclusion, household savings, and also including research, for example, health and social impact of the liquor amendment bill. Our priorities on slide 32, organizational priorities for 2019-2020, financial management. We need to enhance risk management systems and compliance. NEDLAC recognizes the constraints on the fiscal. However, the work of NEDLAC continues to increase, necessitating additional funding. Effective implementation of audit action plan is facilitated. I think I've already touched on the issues regarding human resources, Chair. Maybe if I can just go to slide 34, organizational priorities for 2019-20, the programs themselves. That's basically what we need to do, enhance communication and outreach. I think what we intend to do there is to ensure that everyone in South Africa understands and know about the work of NERLEC in terms of all those projects that we've already outlined. The provision of social dialogue platform to engage on legislation and also ensuring that the work that flows from the national minimum wage lives beyond the implementation date of January 2019. Monitoring and evaluation of the Job Summit agreement as well as the overall work of NERLEC, as we know, Chairperson, the report was presented to the President on the 1st of August. So these projects that the strategy has already indicated are still unfolding. Engagement and research on comprehensive social security forms a pivotal part of NERLEC work, ensuring that South Africans who are currently outside South Africa security nets are also covered. Substantially advanced engagement on the national health insurance policy to continue with the consideration of Section 37 as indicated, establishment of mechanisms for feedback loop in relation to monitoring of legislation that has been finalized through NERLEC. In conclusion, as I think the DG has already outlined, that NERLEC remains committed to advance social dialogue and promote participation of social partners towards addressing socio-economic challenges in the country. We're also looking at cost containment and other stringent performance measures, management measures that needs to be put in place, and we'll also give more attention to enhancing internal processes, ensuring that NERLEC receives an improved performance and audit outcome. We'll also monitor implementation of the Job Summit Agreement as indicated, and we're also expressing an unwavering commitment and full participation of all social partners at NERLEC as those remain key to the realization of these groundbreaking initiatives towards improving economic growth, employment rate, and transformation in the country. That will then conclude the presentation for quarter three from NERLEC Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I remember there's the presentation from NERLEC. Any comments, questions?
Thanks, Chair. In October last year, the Auditor General found that NERLEC had contravened certain supply chain management regulations, resulting in irregular expenditure, and failed to act in line with the PFMA. I wanted to know whether disciplinary action had been taken against any of the officials implicated, and whether you could give us a progress report on that.
Okay, from my side is the slide 34, very interesting. I just want to check how do you, your outreach or your marketing program, in particular the rural areas, in the rural areas, because remember that you are also dealing with communities. Your community, I don't know what you call it, but how confident are you? Or are you, if you are weak in that space, please reflect to us so that, and the issue of if then you communicate with communities, are you communicating in all 11 languages? So that everybody understands. I think that is the last one is on constituency capacity building. What were the contributory factors that you were only able to achieve 50%? That's one of the very important constituencies in NERLEC. Those are the last three constituencies.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the questions. Indeed, we received a negative audit outcome. And because of that, there was an investigation that was put in place in NERLEC. And there were recommendations, and based on those recommendations, MEMCO and EXCO then implemented. That is why there was a suspension of the senior management of NEDLAC, disciplinary processes have taken place, and outcomes have been pronounced, and we are now at the CCNA level with regards to it. That is why you still have the acting ED and the acting CFO. But interestingly, we have since received an unqualified audit opinion. With regards to communication, because we are an entity of the Department of Employment and Labour, the Department of Employment and Labour has what they call an integrated communication strategy that ensures that the work of ministry, department and its entities is marketed and is promoted. So we hinge ourselves with regards to the particular strategy. However, in terms of NEDLAC, we must admit that we have not been very strong. We are not strong in terms of the process of marketing, advocating the work of NEDLAC. However, to do that, we are also putting a plan in place for that, but is highly reliant also on our constituency members to be able to assist in terms of dealing with those. So we are putting a plan together to try and ensure that we market the work of NEDLAC, and we'll also raise these matters with our constituent members, like community constituency, for example, work very closely with the communities, and that's where I think we'll be able to interface. We just had a chamber strategic session last week, and this matter also came up, and we also spoke about how the constituency members can also form part of this advocacy session, Chairperson. In terms of constituency capacity, we have achieved 50%. Our challenge was that there was supposed to have been a research that was conducted during that period, and unfortunately because of timing and some of the challenges, it could not have been done. But you'll note when we present in quarter four, we've actually achieved 100% in terms of that particular output. Yes, I think.
Honourable
Dabi. Thank you, Chair. I was listening to the presenter in relation to the constituency. In particular, my interest is in the small business and the small medium businesses. Are they represented as one constituency with the multinationals associations, or is there a structure whereby they would present their mandate in relation to the size of the businesses that they conduct, or are they treated as one constituency with the bigger industries? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, thank you for the question. As you might be aware, that NEDLAC is made up of four constituencies, which is business, labor, government, and so business basically is represented within that particular constituency. So whatever business requires, whatever their challenges, whatever strategies that want to develop are dealt within that particular constituency. And then they are then brought to larger forums such as MENCO and EXCO. But there are also other task teams that deals with matters pertaining specifically to business. So those issues are dealt in that one.
Can I make a proposal on that matter? Will it not be trying to check off a better word? Will it not be important that what he is asking, knowing very well that maybe it depends on business who comes and all those, how you won't be able to respond to it now, but how then to ensure that you monitor that all sectors of business are represented in, for an example, small business, for example, if they are in that informal whatever, so that they are not being swallowed or network is not being monopolized by big business only. So
maybe we won't be able to respond on that now, but if we can just have a page or whatever on that. If you have not, please consider doing that, because that's, I think that's a very important thing. But for the economy to grow, small, medium enterprises, they are to be monitored and try and tease whatever challenge that they are facing.
Maybe, Chair, Ryder, on what you have just said, if maybe we can be given a report, maybe a one-page or two-page report in relation to the task teams that pertain to that particular constituency, so that we would have an understanding of how their matters are being handled within the bigger picture. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't think that productivity, South Africa.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mutunye Mutiba. I'm the CEO of Productivity South Africa. I'm going to I take it that the committee has the presentation. I'm just going to focus on a particular set of slides.
Sorry for that. I'm told tea is ready outside. We're not going to break for tea, but if honourable members quietly just go and grab your cup of tea so that it's not cold. Sorry for that.
You're welcome, Chair.
You may continue.
I greet the committee members as well as the Deputy Minister and colleagues. The first slide that I would like to talk to is slide number 3. If you look at that slide, we just want to share with the committee how we're located within the context of the Department of Employment and Labour, in particular those areas that we have highlighted in red, because our role is about enhancing the productivity and operational efficiency of enterprises. And we've taken a particular interest on small and medium enterprises. The second area is that of creation of decent employment. And the last area is that area of social dialogue. Precisely because we believe that an enterprise can only be productive if both management as well as workers engage on issues of productivity and competitiveness. So we as we do that for management, we also empower workers to be fully aware of issues around productivity and competitiveness and be able to engage on those issues. The next slide talks to our specific mandate, particularly the fact that we are prompt to promote employment growth and productivity, thereby contributing to South Africa's socio-economic development and competitiveness. And I think this issue of competitiveness, Chair, and the committee, it's very critical in the sense that if you look at reports that talk to the Institute of Management Development, as well as the World Economic Forum reports on competitiveness index, our performance as a country is not very good. And so it's important that we start looking, particularly as we talk about small and medium enterprises being a catalyst for employment growth, that we target those and focus on ensuring that at least we advance their competitiveness. You'll note also on that slide that we're just giving an indication in terms of our footprint, that we are not everywhere in the country because of capacity constraints. You will find our offices just in 3 regions, in 3 provinces, in Gauteng, in Midrand, in KZN, in Durban, in the Western Cape, in Cape Town. So that's where you would find our presence. And then that also begin to have a little bit of a skew in terms of how we're going to be servicing the country. The next slide, it's slide number 5. And I'm using this slide because every platform that I get, I recruit productivity ambassadors. And I believe that as this committee, as we talk about issues of productivity and competitiveness, you are our ambassadors. And the issues that are critical about that is, as we reflect on that slide, I will not go through it. I'm sure you will be able to go into it. But all that we're saying is, if a country is not productive and competitive, there will not be growth. That's at the heart of the message on this slide. Our performance starts on slide 8. On slide 8 for quarter 3, we had 13 indicators planned, and we achieved, for the year, we had 13, for quarter 3 we had 8, and we achieved 4, sitting at 50%. One area of concern is in terms of that strategic objective number 3, where we're talking about providing support to companies facing economic distress to retain jobs. That's a serious area of concern. In the next slide, on slide 9, we're just giving performance per program, corporate services up to the turnaround solutions program. You can see that the turnaround solutions program, it's an area where we have serious challenges. And then on slide 10, we're giving you an indication of progression in terms of performance from quarter 1 up to quarter 3. You can see that in quarter 1 and 2, our performance was dismal. It improved in quarter 3. And I can indicate that this progression has shown at the end of quarter 4 that there was progress in terms of our performance. On slide 12, we're giving a summary of the areas where we failed to perform. As I indicated, in terms of the area where we have to be supporting small and medium enterprises, we targeted 1,600. We could only assist 1,024. The rest are in the area of turnaround solutions. And you can see that the major problem there was lack of funding. There was nothing we could do about that except to continue engaging. The board engaged with the board of UIF. We've had serious engagements with the Director General. And at this point in time, the program has been suspended, but discussions are still taking place to ensure that at least we move into a positive direction. So for all intents and purposes, Chair, our major problems are around the turnaround solutions program, but in all other areas, I think there's been progress in terms of our performance. If I were to go to slide 20, that talks to our financial performance. You can see that we had budgeted revenue of 104 million. We could only secure 60 million, and you can see the areas where we're showing red. Again, at that point in time, 41.4 million was budgeted for the turnaround solutions program. But then we could not receive that money. Now the implications of that, if you look at the surplus and deficit, is that gradually the entity is in a state of deficit with which threatens its going concern. In our discussions with the Director General, we then, as at the last quarter of 2018-19, we then received additional funding just to supplement that that budget. I think that ends my presentation, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Now we are on our last presentation.